the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony. And we thank God for all of you who, for some reason, listen to message number 80. This is 81. Daniel Fast Encouragement, message number 17. And the Daniel Fast for us as believers, as we pray and ask God to help us to overcome the sin of gluttony, should be a part of that recovery, a part of that change. It is biblical, it is beautiful, it is bold, and it is a better way to live. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. In other words, the food didn't necessarily taste good. I just ate for sustenance. Neither came flesh nor wine. In other words, the fine dining was gone. I did not eat anything. I didn't eat any prime rib. I didn't drink any Cabernet or Chardonnay or any kind of nay. None of it entered into my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all. He probably washed his face and brushed his teeth, but as far as putting oil in his hair and shining up his face and putting lotion on and all of that and fixing himself up, as we, some people have a tendency to do even in our society, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled, he didn't do that. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. When you fast and you pray and you sacrifice, God will reveal things to you, and you will see things that other people don't see. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. See what I'm telling you? But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. When I was a young preacher, see, I would have read something like that right there, because we were all about the title. And I would have titled this passage right here, What to Do When the Ground Shakes. Has nothing to do with the passage whatsoever. But we took something, buddy. We got us a good title. No expository preaching whatsoever. Not even a good text. We went off the title. The title had to be right. And that would hook the people. And people start saying, What to do when the ground shakes has nothing to do with this passage. You could have gotten more if you went down to the weatherman place and got instructions on how to and what to do in case of an earthquake than what you would have gotten from me, from my little title. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word, for it has already spoken, and I hope it has spoken to every heart. Have mercy and grace upon us, and for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults as Christian believers. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Grant us fresh anointing, unction, of your Holy Spirit to once again preach. And just like we are amazed at your love and your grace, we stand amazed at how you can use a wretched preacher to save his soul, wash and cleanse him in the blood of Christ, clean him up, and fit him to preach your holy gospel and your holy word. And how you do it over and over and over again, understanding it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Lord, we pray that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit once again. We pray that you would speak to those who are lost, revive those who are saved, rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, Lord, from every aspect of our time together today. We pray that you would glorify your holy name. Help me to glorify your holy name. Lord, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would save those who are lost under the sound of my voice. Revive those who are saved under the sound of my voice. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. By the grace of God, we're going a little further and we're going a little deeper today. David Mathis said, "We fast in this life because we believe in the life to come. We don't have to get it all here and now." People who don't believe in God, who don't believe in Christ, feel like they got to get it all here and now. They have mottos. Get it with all the gusto you can. You only have one life to live. You only go around once. Do all you can and get all you can. But we don't have to have that kind of mentality as believers, because we have a promise that we will have it all in the coming age, when we are in heaven with God, by the grace of God. We fast from what we can see and taste, because we have tasted and seen the goodness of the invisible and infinite God, and are desperately hungry for more of Him. End of quote. And so, beloved, as we progress towards the end of our Daniel fast, which I am told the 40-day fast will end next Monday at midnight or early in the morning, we are going to take a closer look at the communication Daniel had with God and his messengers surrounding his 21-day fast. We have spent a lot of time talking about the discipline of fasting and what it can do for us as believers based on Daniel's. Now we are going to look at the aged prophet's specific experience, which highlights the insight, direction, and revelation that can be received from God during a time of fasting and prayer. God will speak to your heart while you are fasting and praying. He will instruct you. He will give you fresh and new ideas. And He will reveal things to you. And it is a beautiful thing. In verses 4 through 7, immediately after describing his fasting regimen, Daniel describes a vision of a man that he received. In his commentary on this passage, Dr. Warren Wiersbe points out the results of Daniel's fasting. 3 days after the end of his fast, Daniel saw an awesome vision as he stood by the Tigris River. Why Daniel was there isn't explained in the text, but it was the place where God met with him and revealed Israel's future in the greatest prophecy God ever gave to his servant. Thank God for the prophets. Amen, somebody. As you fast, beloved, expect God to speak to you in a special way as well. God has wrought many things through fasting and answered many prayers. Jesus had to tell the disciples and others that this kind cometh out through prayer, only by prayer and fasting. I'm reminded of a dear preacher, friend of mine. I'll just give you his first name, Brother Alex, a faithful man of God who got saved and loved Jesus. He was old school, got saved, and was serving the Lord in the church. And as it oftentimes happens, the wife always wanted her husband to be saved, but when he was called to preach, she didn't want that. And so she rebelled and she fought him. A beautiful, beautiful wife rebelled and fought him. And I believe one day he was trying to go to church, and she jumped on the hood of the car, didn't want him to go. And he had to get out the car and push her off the hood of the car and say, either you go with me or I'll go alone. And they had that back and forth going on. And to look at her, you wouldn't think that she would be that way, but she was. Because that's how the devil is. That's the way the devil is. And he kept on going to the house of God and serving the Lord without her. And she kept the children back as well. And then he started fasting for the first time. He prayed hard for his wife and his children. And he fasted for like 30 days or more. And one Sunday morning, the whole family came to church. And they have not, as far as I know, they have not ceased serving God together and going to the house of God together. And everybody asked him, what happened? Well, how did you come out? He said, I didn't tell you all, but I've been fasting. I think I told the pastor. I've been fasting and praying. And that's what he did. And his wife has been by his side and was a joyful, cheerful blessing to her husband and to the church. In fact, I remember her name now. Her name is Brenda. And many wonderful things have happened through fasting and prayer. This, my family would not be together if it had not been for fasting and prayer as well. And many families, many Christian families have stayed together because somebody started fasting and praying. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to say that you're not going to overcome the sin of gluttony or any other sin without some fasting and praying. And I cannot think of a better thing to do in overcoming the stranglehold and the stronghold of food and that it has on many of us. And in the words of my wife, not only people who tend to get overweight or obese, but also skinny people are addicted to certain foods. And they become like a godlike idol to them. There are some people addicted to chocolate. They can't pass by a chocolate shop. There's a Toll House chocolate shop downtown Fort Worth. There are people who go there every day. They love chocolate so much. I have a preacher friend who loves baked goods. That's the main. Whenever we go out to eat, he's going to make sure he's going to get some vegetables and salad and stuff like that. But he's going to put a hurting on that pineapple upside down cake. I can assure you that. He's going to put a hurting on that, whereas I'm more interested in prime rib or some meat, any kind of cake and ice cream. He's going to get that. Two or three of them. Thinking that he's making up for it by just eating salad and vegetables. And speaking of salads, some of us preachers need to stop lying. We go into the Golden Corral and everybody get in there, all the preachers get in there, and we say, okay, what are you going to have? You pat your big fat stomach and you say, oh, I'm just going to have a salad. You know, I need to lose a little weight and everything. My wife got me on a health kick, you know. And then you go to the salad bar. You put pork. You put chicken. You put turkey on top. You put a little bit of green vegetables. One slice of tomato. And maybe a little onions. But everything else, you fill the rest of that bowl up with ham, turkey, chicken, eggs, potato salad, chicken salad, macaroni salad, and everything else. This is not the salad that the dietitian has in mind, by the way. But my point, my beloved, is those of us who are gluttons and who are tempted with food, we're not going to overcome gluttony, the sin of gluttony, if we don't fast and pray. And by the grace of God, hopefully this will encourage you. We're going to continue with the 21-day fast right before Thanksgiving this year. That's very hard for me, but very good for me. It was very good for me last year. God has a way through fasting to break strangleholds and to break strongholds and to break the band of wickedness in our lives. Even after the fast, you don't want to pig out because you know better. So we're going to continue with this fast, 40 days and 40 nights, the Daniel fast extended, and then 21 days in the fall. But I want to encourage all of my fellow gluttons to switch over to the Daniel plan. And I'm kind of adding something to it where you don't go full vegetarian, but for Sundays, don't pig out, but eat a normal meal with some meat with your family, so you won't always be the odd man out. And then only have meats on holidays and birthdays and anniversaries and or some other big celebration thing. For example, I have several children graduating from college with the third or fourth, second degree. One with the first, and we'll go out and eat for that celebration, that accomplishment, that milestone. But for the rest of the days, none of the stuff that we love so much. And so in closing, ladies and gentlemen, today, keep that in mind and keep on fasting and then go on into the Daniel plan. And so with that said, let's have a word of prayer and we'll pick up this message on tomorrow as a part two. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Thank you for reminding us of the importance of fasting and prayer, particularly in the matter of allowing ourselves to become gluttons and loving the idol of food, as so many of us do in the church. You have been very gracious to your fat Christian believers, to your overweight Christian believers, to your obese Christian believers. You have not been hard on us. I don't know why. And it's a miracle in the still small voice in which you said this to me and spoke to my heart that we need to deal with this. And I need to deal with it. As you know, Lord, I have not been threatened by a doctor telling me that I need to lose weight or I will die. Probably only because that for some reason you led me to fast nearly every year since I've been saved. And just whatever, however many days it was, 40, 30, 21, 14, 10, 7, 3, 2, 1, they've added years to my life. And I probably look younger than my age, minus the white hair. But I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I thank you that I'm not under any threat. I'm doing this because of your still small voice, and how you have just shown me that when we get into a church setting or we get around other Christian brothers and sisters, in any setting, it's just shocking how everybody is overweight. We don't see ourselves, but we see others. And then we look in the mirror and see ourselves, and we're right there with them. Overweight, fat, chubby, obese, and nobody says anything. And you have shown me it'd be one thing, it was just one or two people in the church that way, but most people in many churches are overweight, fat, obese, and nobody says anything. This is a matter, as one preacher said about another subject, that we need to, a mark of maturity is to be self-aware and to understand and to be able to see your faults and your failures and your inconsistencies and even your hypocrisy. For we condemn other sins, but we don't condemn our sin of gluttony. We're just overdoing it, where it's not a matter of thyroid and a thyroid is out of whack or whatever. We do understand genetics and slavery and the South and how we ate in the South and all of that. But when we know better, we ought to do better. We know vegetables are better for us than eating all of that pork and greasy food. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins. Break the band of wickedness in our lives. And fill us with your Holy Spirit to change and help us to continue to fast and pray. Even after this 40-day fast, or maybe 42-day fast. Lord, help everybody not only to lay off the meats and so forth going forward, except for holidays and maybe Sunday. But Lord, help us to fast on Monday. Help us to fast on Wednesday. To fast at least one day a week going forward every week this year. And to continue to break the stranglehold of gluttony. To break the idol of food that so many of us enjoy to the hilt. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, a little practical information regarding the Daniel fast. This information comes from the Daniel Plan, 40 Days to a Healthier Life, by Dr. Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman. The book guides readers to adapt the Daniel fast and continue it as a lifestyle. The authors continue by saying you will never reach your optimum health without paying attention to the spiritual dimensions of your life. And that's what we're dealing with here throughout this whole series and throughout this fast. We're helping people to understand that the sin of gluttony, this matter of being overweight and obese, is a deeply rooted spiritual matter. And one of the problems is we have deceived ourselves, and the devil helped us into thinking that gluttony is not a sin. Over the years, this is what has happened. And we accommodate our sin, just like the church has accommodated divorce. Now it's a ministry. It's an outreach ministry. Let's go out and get the hurting divorced people and put them in a glorified dating classroom where they can eye somebody else and mix their two hellacious lives and their two hellacious families together. To create more hell and more pain and more hurt. and more misunderstanding. This is what we do as sinners. It is our sinful nature to twist our evil and sin and to make it acceptable. And we're so blind to it, we can't even see it. But God is constantly telling us, but he's only telling us in a still, small voice. But we have so much fat around us, we can't hear him, because we're constantly smacking on something and gorging ourselves with more chips, more dip, more soda, more pound cake that puts on the pounds, more fried chicken, and on and on. You have a body, but you are far more than just a body. Every area of your life, they continue, affects every other area of your life. For instance, it's hard to be spiritually strong and mentally alert when you are emotionally stressed or physically fatigued. If you are spiritually and emotionally weak or ill, your body cannot perform at its peak. The Daniel plan is about your total health, not just your physical fitness. Your spiritual, and I'm adding this, mental, emotional, and physical health, everything. And as they said in the beginning, and as I've said earlier, if you don't get the spiritual side taken care of, you're never going to resolve the physical side. And you got to slow walk this thing down. Why? Because you slow walked this thing up. For this reason, we must start, they continue, with your relationship to God. The Creator who designed you knows best how your body was made to operate and has the power to help you make the changes that you want to see. Without God's power in your life, you are just running on your own energy, your own willpower. And even in this matter, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, as it is in all matters. You will never have a great marriage if you try to do it yourself. You will never raise good children if you try to do it yourself. You will never have a great job relationship and situation or business if you try to do it yourself. God must be in the mix. Without him, we can do nothing that's worthwhile, and we all know it. God never meant for you to do things on your own like that. It's like having a laptop that's unplugged. The battery will eventually drain and shut down the computer. Worse than that, it's like having a computer with no internet. As far as I'm concerned, as far as most people are concerned, a computer without the internet is nothing. Oh, but it's a beautiful computer. It's worthless if you don't have the connectability with the outside world via the internet. You can't do much with it. It's dead, even though it's plugged up. It's not plugged up to the internet. Why would you live like that when God created you for so much more? And so much more begins with Jesus Christ. Do you know him as your Savior? If you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? You're planning to die because you have life insurance. Life insurance. You're planning to die because you have funeral insurance. But have you thought about what's going to happen to you after you die? Do you have salvation insurance? have you accepted the insurance that's free to you, but it costs God everything. It cost him his son dying on the cross for your sins, being buried, and rising again on the third day. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Have you ever trusted him as your Savior so that you, when you die, which you're planning for, you will go to heaven when you die? How foolish it is to have life insurance, which says you're planning for your death. How foolish it is to go to a lawyer and to write a will which says you're planning for your death, but yet you don't take care of your soul after death. You know that soul that you have is going to live somewhere forever. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All you have to do, dear friend, to get your life, your eternal life insurance, and that's what I'm in the business of doing, making sure you have eternal life insurance. You don't have to pay me a dime. You don't have to pay anybody on earth a dime for this eternal life insurance. And it is far more important than your life insurance. It means absolutely, your life insurance means absolutely nothing compared to eternal life insurance. All you need to do is believe in your heart right now in Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for you, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal punishment in hell, and saved to eternal life with your eternal life insurance policy paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul today, and he will. I'll be glad to help you and lead you in this prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner deserving of hell because I have broken your commandments, such as lying, such as dishonesty, such as lust after people and things, stealing things that don't belong to me, and other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, including mine, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today and you believed in your heart that he died for your sins on the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do, after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you.